Coach, how are you?
Hey, Tim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. My co-host, not so good, isn't in because a flat tire.
He's, oh, my goodness.
He's renting a car. Coach, do you have any words of encouragement for my somewhat soft co-host who couldn't change his flat?
Well, like I patient.
Yeah, patient.
And learn how to change a flat. It would be the two pieces of advice I would give him. But I tell you what, I wouldn't wish that on anyone having to change a tire, though.
I will say this, Coach. It's a work in progress, okay? I've been around coaches long enough to know what you're supposed to say, and that's that your goals go much beyond a division title. But Atlantic Division champs have any ring to it to you?
Well, it does, Tim. Just the fact that it's a part of the process. I mean, no, we're still, and I've been preaching this all year, a growing team, two young players and Terrence and Jonas who are growing, getting better. DeMar is our star. He's only been in the league 5 years. And so that the division title is a good first step. It shouldn't be, and like you said, it shouldn't be our end goal, but it is a great step and a good accomplishment for these guys, the work they put in, because of all the groups I've been around, they've been one of the hardest working young groups that you can have, and now they have something they can see that's a true dividend or true benefit from the hard work that they put in.
Last night you said, and you kind of reiterated it just right now, we still have to continue to work hard to get better. You've said something similar for about a month now.
Uh-huh.
Why are you saying that?
Well, because it's true. We make a lot of mistakes. We've been, you know, fortunate and won some games, but, you know, there's a lot of mistakes that we make that I know when we are in the playoffs or playing against the San Antonios, the Miamis, the Indianas, and Brooklyns, and all these playoff teams, that some of those mistakes are not gonna fly. So I'm doing it, trying to prepare us for those type of games more so than at the moment. And that's hard for everyone to see, and why I preach it, and I'm sure they're tired of it, as are the players. But again, we work at it and continue to get the message across. And long and short of it, Tim, the guys are improving. They are getting better. We're not going to change players into, Hall of Famers overnight, and it takes time. But again, we're trying to push the process and push the growth, but it does take time.
Do you think the message is getting through?
No question.
Yeah.
We're division winners. We're in the playoffs. So, part of the first step is getting through. Again, are we a championship team right now? No. But again, we're making steps. We're preaching getting better because that's what we have to do. We're not a finished product yet.
Dwayne Casey joining us here on Tim and maybe eventually, hopefully, Sid. Do you care who you face in the playoffs?
No. We're excited to be there. Whoever we play, we have to be the hungry team. So it really doesn't matter. I think I've been on both sides of it, and I've seen it work both ways. In Seattle, you kind of wish, you hope, you want to play a certain team, then once you play them, they're better than what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you don't mess with the basketball guys. Play your game, work to get better. And whoever comes in front of you, you know, be the hungry team.
When the franchise hasn't been to the playoffs in 6 years, being the hungry team is probably a good idea. And when you face two different teams, it means two different game plans. But mentally, would you have to prepare your players differently for a team like Brooklyn, given their championship experience, than, say, a team like Washington or Charlotte?
It's a different approach just because of the style of play that both teams play. Brooklyn is more methodical, slice you in a half-court type game, where Charlotte and also probably Washington more than Charlotte is more, let's get the pace going, give it to John Wall, let's attack. So you have two different approaches, but both approaches is going to be a physical, hit you upside the head type game, whichever team you play. But different styles of play with both teams, Tim.
What are the teaching lessons that you took from your run with the Mavs? in the playoffs?
Do what got you there. We can't become a team, someone who we're not. We're not going to become offensive juggernaut. Was going to be an up and down game and try to run. We've been a medium pace type team. I think we're going to have to continue to do that in the playoffs. What I learned also at Dallas and in Seattle is you can't overhype the playoffs. It's still basketball, and we can't get too caught up in the moment and lose sight of we got to play a game. We got to go out and play tough defense. We got to get back in transition. We got to box out. We got to do all the fundamentals that got us there, even though it's a playoff game. And that's one thing that's hard with a young team who hasn't been there before.
Right.
There's a lot of hype that goes around the playoff games, but again, at the bottom line, it's still a game.
Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, joining us here on Tim and Sid. The year before you guys claimed the Larry O'Brien in Dallas, if I'm not mistaken, you went out in the first round. Is that how fine the line can be when it comes to playoff basketball?
No question. We learned from that first round exit also, and the fact that the guys were hungry, they knew what to expect together next year, and that was more of a veteran team. So, but that was the first time they had been together in a playoff situation. So, did they learn from it? And it is a fine line. You know, we had made some additions to the team at that time, but, you know, I think the rhythm of the team and how well you play going into the playoffs on both ends of the floor is important.
We play a game around here called Super Stat or Meaningless Number because, Coach, we all know stats are like Nicki Minaj. They show a lot, but they don't show everything. Tell me if this is a super stat or a meaningless number. The Raptors haven't held an opponent under 90 points since March 23rd versus Atlanta, a span of 12 games. However, you've only lost three of those 12.
I think it's a meaningless stat. If you look at the league, I think scoring is up over the league during this span. And I would like to I'll have our stats guys to do it, to look at the seasons the last 10 years this time of year. I would say scoring is up. There's a lot of factors. You have some teams that are out of the playoffs who are playing looser.
Right.
Teams that are in the playoffs, the defense has slipped a little bit just because of the focus. This is the hardest time of year to have the focus. So I would say that's more of a meaningless stat. But, you know, again, it could be like Nicki Minaj. You could show, you know, say a lot, but not show everything.
Also, I noticed in doing that, and I wonder if this is cognizant on your end, is obviously in before the All-Star break, you guys are bottom third of the league in many offensive categories. Since the All-Star break, you're 11th in points per game, 14th in field goal percentage. Was that just the change with Rudy being out of the lineup, or is it a concerted effort to get buckets easier?
No, I would say our style of play has changed since the first of the year. And no disrespect to Rudy, but when he was here, we were more of an ISO team. He's one of the best wing ISO guys in the league. Matter of fact, his come off of pin down numbers were probably the lower rung of the league, as far as him catching it off of pin down, off of action, and that type of thing. So our style of play has changed. It's helped us. We're more of a pick and roll ball movement type team. Our assists have gone up, so it's more of a product of the trade as much as anything else.
I know you got to fly soon, so I'll make this our last one. Sid wanted me to ask it of you: who of your young guys is most ready for playoff basketball that hasn't been there before?
I would say DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Just because I think his game would translate into the playoffs. I think he's matured against pressure and not let the hype of the game bother him. So I would say of the young guys, his will translate. I would say the next guy that's probably ready for it will be Terrence Ross, just because Terrence is going to make it. Pressure doesn't bother Terrence.
Right.
He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and that type of thing. Where Jonas is going to have to get used to the the contact into the post.
Right.
He's got a lot of things to maneuver and to figure out in a playoff game and the type of the style of play that's going to be there.
I actually had good seats to yesterday's game and saw Terrence up close. I see everything in that game. How close is he to putting it all together?
He's getting close, and I've been meeting with the players, the last few days, just talked, in a periodical meeting, and talked to him about how he has grown. He's now thinking the game as much as he ever has since he's been in the league. Reading situations: do I shoot? Do I drive? Do I pass? Do I attack? So he's grown in that, from that aspect. And, as far as a young player is concerned, that's probably the most difficult thing to learn, translating from college to the NBA.
I'm not just saying this because you're on with us. I said it off the top of the show. You guys are inking one of the best stories right now in Canadian sports, going from 6-12 to what you're doing. I want to congratulate it as you unfurl the banner, but understand, having been around coaches, you're not done your task yet. If you allow yourself the moment, congratulations, and we'll talk to you when the playoffs roll around.
Thank you so much, Tim, and you're so right. We're not a finished product yet. That's why, like you said, you don't want to get too excited, but I think it is great for our fans. We have one of the best fan bases in the NBA, and they deserve this change and this climb to success.